Thank you. I still wish my mother could have been here. Should have believed all of that. I always say, God forgive them for saying all of that. And God forgive me for enjoying it. Tell me about it. Hey, haven't we had meeting? Camp meeting. Dear Lord. You know, I get a little weary of all the tired people I meet. You talk to anybody today, 5 minutes. You know what they'll tell you? I'm tired. That's the God's truth. Anybody. I have kids that come in to my classroom, and we have one row of desks along the wall. You know how they come in the morning. Not in the evening, you could understand it maybe. But in the morning they come in, sit down, boom, head goes against the wall. Until I help them to get their heads off the wall. Tired. God, this is the tiredest generation God's ever seen. We sleep in better beds, eat better food, take more vitamins, eat more fruit and fiber, and we're the tiredest generation God has ever seen. That's right. You know, I remember when my father would pile us all in a Model T Ford. Some of you don't, you've never seen a Model T. But anyway, we would go to hear Amy Semple McPherson or Wigglesworth or John Wright Follett and you know, we'd be there all half the night, come home, 2 o'clock in the morning. Mom would come in the house carrying one and pulling one. Pop would be carrying two and dragging one. And we didn't know where we were, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. But you know, the next morning, my father would be gone to work at 5 o'clock. And you know what would happen when he came home at 5 at night? He never came in and said, Helen, I'm so dog tired. There's no way I can go to church tonight. No way, I'm tired. You know what he'd say? Get the kids ready. We're going to church. Going to church. I never saw them tired. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. If you got joy, you got strength. Lose your joy, you're tired. I told you about the little woman down home that every time we had church, every time we had a testimony meeting, she'd be the first one, jump up and say, thank God I'm saved, and sit down. That's all she ever said. We had to give up on testimony meetings because people got to telling all her troubles. And always wound up their testimony by saying, y'all pray for me that I'll hold out to the end. And some poor sinner sitting there said, hey, these people got enough problems of their own. They don't need mine. I'm going to tell you something, mister. If we want people to come into our churches, let's act like we are in church. Amen? Hallelujah. And not like we're at a funeral. Acting like we're getting ready to hang the pastor or something. Joy. That little woman had joy. That's all she ever said. Testimony meeting after testimony meeting. That's all she said. Thank God I'm saved. After a while you believed her. We got a lot to be happy about, you know. Amen. Got a lot to be happy. We're on top of the ground. Amen. And it's not raining in here. One night she got ready to come to church. Now she had a drunken husband that would beat her up every time she came to church. Whop, whop. She'd come to church, black eyes, bruised body. But when testimony time rolled around, nobody ever heard that little woman get up and say, y'all pray for me because one of these nights John's gonna kill me. Never. Dear God, if it would have been today, she'd have had to have 3 hours of counseling a week just to stay with that she didn't need counseling. She had the best of counselors. Hallelujah. She knew who he was. Amen. And she knew where to go. One night she got ready to come to church, and that drunken sot rushed home. The devil knows when it's church time. Going to be tarred. You're going to be tarred about that time. He rushed home, met her at the door coming out, pulled a pistol out of his pocket, put it at her temple, and said, I have whipped you, stomped on you, locked you in, locked you out, and you still insist on going to that church. He said, I'm going to kill you. And mister, I remember when we started in this Pentecostal movement, they did try to kill one another. The devil hated. The devil knew once Pentecost ever got loose, it would never stop. Never. The devil knew that. I remember back many years ago when the Holy Spirit fell on NIAC. That is a Christian college in New York. And the Holy Ghost fell among those students. And they began to speak in tongues, much to the chagrin of the president and the board of that college. And they had a meeting, one of the most historical meetings that was ever held in America. You don't know that, but I remember. I was just a kid. And that movement made their decision that day. On up until that moment, they were the greatest missionary movement that ever hit this world since the Moravians. But they made a decision. That movement that God blessed, and the first healings I saw came out of that movement. And I saw miracles. But they made a decision that day. They said, we will not accept speaking in tongues in our movement. And God killed them. They split down the middle. The Pentecostals became the Assemblies of God. You know what? The devil knew that if that movement, with their great missionary expression and projection, the devil knew that that spirit plus the baptism of the Holy Ghost that had turned the world upside down. And the devil split it right down through the middle. I thank God I'm on the other side. Amen. Then they couldn't do anything else, so they started to call us holy rollers. That drunken sot said to that woman, I'm going to kill you tonight. She stood there with that gun at her temple and the trigger pulled back. He said, what do you got to say now? She said, John, I'll tell you what. You see, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord. Amen. I didn't say that. He said that. And she stood there with that gun at her temple and said, John, I'll tell you what. If you pull the trigger, I'm going to heaven. But John, if you don't pull the trigger, I'm going to church. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what you call hanging in there. Hey, I'm not worried about the wolfishness of the wolves out there. What I'm concerned about this afternoon is the sheepishness of the sheep. Scared to death that God's going to ask him to make some kind of a commitment. That's right. Scared to death God's going to say, give something. And you don't realize the frustration of the church today is sitting around waiting for ships to come in you've never sent out. on the waters. Mister, if you never cast it out there when you need it, it'll never come back. He said, give. Amen. He doesn't multiply anything until you give it to him. Amen. Give him your strength. He'll multiply it. But if you want to retire and go down and sit on your blessed assurance, you go down there and let one hand play with the other one forever. But he said, listen, give me your strength. I'll give you strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Give me your talents. I'll make a singer out of you. I don't know how I got into this, because I do have a text. You know, when I started out, we always had a special in every meeting. Nobody could sing, but we had specials. Amen. Shoot, I love to hear the choir sing, and I love to hear all of the singers sing, but I love to sing too. Amen. And I sing. Whether it pleases anybody else or not, I never thought of that. Amen. Shoot, you can... No, I better not say that. But anyway... No, I better not say that either. What can I say? Hey, I remember George Hayes preaching one night in Dallas, and he got to the end of his sermon, and he was saying, what did the atheist say when it came time to die? And he named all of the great atheists and what they said when it came time to die. And he got to Tom Paine. He said, folks, bless God, what did Tom Paine say when it came time to die? He said, what did he say? What did he say? Couldn't remember. He said, bless God, you all come to the altar. So everybody thought that's what Tom Paine said. What did he say? Well, I better read something here. No. Let me go on with the singing. But every night we had a special. Nobody could sing, but we had a special. We used to have a juice harp special. Mouth organs. That drew the crowd. We had one dear sister that she sang almost every night because she loved it. But she had a frog in her throat. Every time she got up to sing, she said, I've got a frog in my throat. I'm sorry, friends. Next night, I have a frog in my throat. Always the frog. I'm not kidding you, buddy. I was there. I remember she got up one night and she said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to sing, but I have a frog in my throat. An old coal miner on the left side said, let the frog sing. If you think you've been to church, let me get something here. If I don't find it, I'll read something else. Hey, what a day to be alive. This is 4th of July. Amen. Reminds me of the day of Pentecost. There was a sound. Hey, not a firecracker. But there was a sound on the day of Pentecost. Woo, it came like a mighty rushing wind. Oh, hallelujah. There was. You know, I was thinking this morning about a story that I read one time of during the Civil War when at the Battle of Gettysburg, when the going was rough, and in one of their heaviest battles, when men were shot by the hundreds, and amid the screams of dying men and the screams of dying horses, And the smoke of the battle. This young lieutenant leading his troops that were shot down, wave after wave shot down. And he knew it was useless. The slaughter was horrible. I got news for you, mister. If you don't want to fight, if you don't want to do battle, don't join the ranks of God's committed people. Amen? If you don't have any stomach for battle, forget it. Amen? Because if you do anything for God, you're going to fight the powers of hell. Brace your feet. You may as well get ready. That young lieutenant gave the word to retreat. And down through the ranks, the word went, retreat. When he happened to look back and saw his flag bearer, a young fella, had never been in a war, but he was a warrior. He saw him out there at the front, absolutely separated from any troops left that could save him. His flag was shot away. But he still had to pull. God, I love a battler. I love a fighter. Amen. If they shoot the flag away, wave the pole. Amen. But don't ever quit. Don't ever turn back. And they yelled to him, bring the flag back. He looked around. He said, hey, man, bring your men to the flag. Amen. Amen. And God Almighty is saying to us today, come on to the bloodstained banner of Calvary. Hallelujah. And keep fighting on. Amen. Because the battle is ours. Anyway, God never told us to conquer anything. All he ever said was possess it. Amen. I have already conquered it. Are you with me? Let me see your hands. Wiggle them a little bit. I'm reading. Don't turn to it. I'm reading from the fourth chapter of Zechariah. And the angels that talked with me came again and waked me. I'm going to come back to that. Wake me. As a man that is wakened out of sleep. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these? Then the angel that talked with me answered. There's a lot of questions going back and forth here, and nobody's answering much, but anyway. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, I don't know. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, who was going to rebuild the temple. This is the word of God to Zerubbabel, who is going to fight all the devils in hell to rebuild the temple. This is the word of the Lord unto him. Not by might, nor by power, my spirit. Amen. Say it. My spirit. Say it again. My spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And nothing has changed. Amen. Amen. Who art thou, O great mountain? Everybody has mountains. That's right. We're always praying about our mountain. Oh God, take the mountain away. Remove the mountain. Pray for me, Pastor, that God will remove that. What in the world are you talking about? Caleb said, give me that mountain. Amen. Buck Greenaway, what do you do with a mountain? You tunnel through it. Amen. You get experience with a mountain. Amen. If they're all going to be removed, you're going to be a knucklehead. Amen. What do you want? I'm forever blowing bubbles? Or are you going to sing we're marching to Zion? Amen? Make it easy on yourself. Why are people falling today? Because they don't have any iron in their soul. All their mountains, they prayed for them to be removed. God said, hey, if you don't want a mountain, forget it. But you'll be out there on your... Who art thou? Well, you say, I can't tunnel through it. Climb it. Amen. Get on top. Hallelujah. Amen. You might see something you haven't seen before. Amen. Well, what if I can't climb it? Dig in it. You'll find something. God never gave a man a mountain without something in it. Amen. That's why Caleb said, give me my mountain. And he had to wait 40 years. He lived with a minority report because that committee of spies that came back sat down there and said, we can't do it, got up and read, whereas there are giants in the land, whereas it's walled cities, whereas there's this, there's that. Therefore, be it resolved that we forget the whole thing. God underestimated our power and his too. Amen. God help you. A little iron in your soul. As Edgar Bethany used to say, a little steel in your heels. Amen. And for 40 years, Caleb walked around with that minority report. And he followed that bunch around in 11 square miles of desert for 40 years. They all died with silicosis and sinus trouble. You can't kick sand up in one another's faces for 40 years in 11 square miles of desert and not die with sinus trouble. Yes, but when the last one of that bunch was slipped into his sandy grave, Caleb took off. Amen. He said, I'm still here. I still want my mountain. Hallelujah. And God gave him his mountain. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Who is going to do this? Not by might, nor by power. But he says this mountain before him will become a plain. Amen. And he shall bring forth the headstone. Thereof with shouting. The headstone. Anybody know who he is? Huh? You know who the cornerstone is. Amen. Who's the headstone? Hey, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the cornerstone. Woo! He's the headstone. Amen. And he said, he shall bring forth the headstone with shouting, crying, grace be on it. Okay. Let me see if I can read. I've got cataracts, you know.
Monday morning they're going to take them off. Right now, the doctor said to me, Mr. Greenaway, do you have a driver's license?
I said, yes. He said, how do you drive? I said, I just follow people. I said, everybody's going somewhere. I said, I was following a man the other day, followed him for 2 miles, and he stopped dead, and I bumped him. And I jumped out and said, what in the world did you stop like that for? He said, I'm in my garage. Hey, they earn their money when they work on me. Why should a prophet have to be wakened? It says, and he was wakened as out of a sleep. Do you know that Zechariah, I can understand why he was a little sleepy, a little weary. He had seen so many visions here. This was the fourth one. Some of you can't stand one. This boy had four. But the angel wakened him. He said, Zechariah, get up. He said, I'm not through yet, boy. You've had three visions. I'm going to show you one more. Amen. God is saying to you today, wake up. I'm not dead yet. I'm not going to die. Amen. God is saying, hey, I got something more for you. Amen. I'm going to show you something you have never seen before. Every morning I get up, I start out serving God, knowing that I'm going to see one more infallible proof that He is alive. Hallelujah. He is alive. Oh, hallelujah. The fact that I'm saved is an infallible proof that Jesus lives. I remember the night I got saved. I went to the altar and everybody went home. That bunch. I'm not kidding you. They didn't think I could get saved. They didn't think I was serious. But mister, when you push against a mother's prayers as many years as I did growing up, my father was dead by the time I was 8. We hit the streets. We were full of the devil. Come home 3 o'clock in the morning, take her shoes off on the streets, crawl in the house, crawl up the steps, crawl by that woman's room, hoping that one night that woman would be asleep. But every time we passed that door, we heard, oh God, have mercy on my boys. And we'd go to bed feeling like Judas Iscariot. Amen? No. Mom never went to a seminar and asked Dr. Dobson, what do I do with 6 kids full of the devil? She knew where to go. She bowed her knee to the throne. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! That church was having a revival. Crazy. They weren't having a revival. It was a protracted meeting. When you have a revival, people get with it. I get tired when I see on the marquee of a church, it says revival every night this week, except Monday. God, where were you on Monday? There's no way you can have a red hot revival. If it's revival, you got revival on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Amen. I saw a sign on a marquee of a church in Birmingham, Alabama. It said, pray to God, but row for the shore. I don't know what they meant. Janitor had a high that morning. He put it up there. Pastor, yeah, when nobody reads them. I ran all the way home that night. I got saved. I got saved about midnight by myself. I knew what to do. This business that people say, well, I don't know what to do. When the Holy Spirit convicts a man of sin, he knows what to do. Amen. A wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err therein. I've stood around flickering campfires and talked to men throughout the night that never heard of Jesus until they heard it from me. And suddenly, I have seen the Holy Spirit walk in, burst like a thousand sunrises. Oh, hallelujah. And to see that man stand up and say, Mom, Pusa, the wind, Nambarakati, Bum, and Foggy, Mom. I thank God he saved me. Amen. 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 Oh, half of us are going around, we're discouraged, we quit. We say we try so hard to save people, and nobody gets saved. You're not God. You don't save anybody anyway. The day I learned I wasn't God, it helped me. Then I learned I wasn't even the Lord of the harvest. That helped me. Then I learned I wasn't even in management. I said, God, what am I in? He said, you're in sales. Amen. And that's all you're in. Oh, hallelujah. You are in sales. All God ever asked us to do is witness. People used to say to me, how do you get through to people that have never heard before? You don't. You take the gospel, you take that book, you read the word, you preach it, and he gets through. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you still with me? This boy had gone from vision to vision. And there's something, you know, when we go from vision to vision, after a while, it ceases to be awesome. And one of the problems with the Pentecostal movement today is that our senses, our spiritual senses, are dulled. What used to turn us on turns us off. What used to be meaningful to us is not meaningful anymore. The pastor's sermons, they're not, they don't mean that much anymore. You see, we've lost the bloom of our experience when that happens. Amen. I got news for you. There's no such a thing as a good sermon or a bad sermon. If it's preaching, it's sowing seed. It's all good. Amen. 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 No, we go to church and say, well, I hope this guy can do better than the last one. We're not worried about the word. We're concerned about whether he can get to our intellect. The heart doesn't matter. But if you're going to have people saved and your churches are going to be right, you're going to have to be right. Amen. And not say, well, it's him, it's her, it's you. Amen. If you can't help it, don't hurt it. Listen. I better not say that. And the angel said, hey, get awake. I'm going to show you something. Whew. I'm going to show you how the temple is going to be rebuilt. I'm going to show you. Now here's what you got to do. Here's what Zerubbabel has to do. He has to get the best seminar speaker he can get. He will have to get some pretty good theologians. And he may have to import a heavy metal band. And get some lights going. And in some of our churches, they put off a few smoke bombs. God forgive them. God forgive them. Hey, that's not what you need. He said, I'm going to tell you. You see, Jesus is the light of the world. Now, I don't have time to go into the candlesticks and the light, but all of that was there to remind Israel that who was still the light of the world. Amen? Who is the light of the world?
Who?
He is the light. Amen. And if he is not light, we're in darkness. Amen. So when you are in darkness, you got to learn how to dance on your own. Let's get the little... No, I better not say that. You know, I wonder sometimes if we have forgotten who the light is. That we have forgotten that we are not to build anything by might and by power. Amen. But by spirit. He said, I will put my spirit upon my servant. Amen. 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 You can have your policies, programs, and procedures, but I want to feel the Spirit. Amen. I want to know. You know, the Apostle Paul cried, are you so foolish? And if the Apostle Paul was here today, this is what he'd be saying. What he said to the Galatians. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit. You're trying to make this thing perfect now in the flesh. Amen? Are you with me? Because it gets a little rougher from here to the river. I wonder sometimes if our whole experience hasn't flattened out. Well, we're all right as long as we're with the crowd. Amen? But you're going back home, buddy, and you're not going to have this crowd. Amen? You're going to be there all by yourself. And you're going to look around and say, Father, 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 take me back to the camp meeting. No, no, no. You're out there in no man's land. Your flag is shot away. What are you going to do? Call God's people to come to the bloodstained banner of Calvary. Amen. And let's drink of the well that has always been. It's always been there. Nothing's changed. God hasn't changed. You know, Peter cried when he saw Christ's glory. He said, depart from me. John said, when he saw him, he said, I am not worthy to untie his shoes. Amen. And yet we think we're smart enough now that we can back God in a corner and say, hey, you can back him in a corner with his own word. He'll give you anything you want. And most of the time we'll wind up with what he is going to give us. And what he can give us is not always what we want. Amen. Amen. But what people needed. Well, they thought it was great. But I had a little scenario. I was standing right there. And I saw a precious mother and father walk up to that man. And say, they had their son between them. Boy about 18 years old. They said, we believe that he's possessed with an evil spirit. And those two people were heartbroken. They said this to this man, to this speaker. I was standing right there. I saw come over his face consternation. Buddy, I could feel when he moved around and he grabbed my arm. And he said, help him. I talked 5 minutes to those people. That boy wasn't possessed with anything. I had prayer rebuke the powers of hell. They went out of here singing. Amen. Why? It's not by might nor by power. I don't care what kind of a message you have. If you can reach down and set men and women free by the help of Almighty God, what you have is useless.
Amen. It's useless. Amen. It's useless. That's why the angel said, go and tell Zerubbabel. He's going to rebuild the temple. And I know everything is short, but tell him it's not going to be built by might and power. It's going to be built by my spirit. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. He's still the light of the world. I remember, here I go. But I remember years ago when I was the field director for Eurasia, and I spent so much time in India, and I spent so much time up there on the Nepal border with they had a school up there and a church. Ann Tomasek, a young nurse, in World War I, got on a troop ship, found her way to India. Went up there on the Nepal border. At that time, missionaries were living a lifetime, dying and being buried on that Nepal border. I can take you to their graves. Never got to Nepal. But Ann Tomasek camped on that border and made her way into Nepal. One of the first emissaries ever to cross that border. She was up there. It was lonely desert. Once you cross the Holy River in Benares, you got 1,000 miles to go across that desert to get where she was. Alone. Ann Tomasek was well educated. She was the type of person that you could take into the finest of society or the greatest of cultures, and she was at home. You never had to be ashamed of her. Yet she spent 50 years up there on that border. 50 years. I remember how she would talk to me those days that I spent up there, I said, Ann, how did they allow you into Nepal the first time? She said, I heard the king's daughter was sick and dying. I said, this is my chance. Amen. 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 I heard the king's daughter was sick. We don't know how to take advantage of an opportunity because we don't want to pray for the sick. We don't want to clean up somebody's house. We don't want to do anything unless it is to go to church and shout. You hear me? She said, I went up to the king's palace. And they said, she's a doctor. And they let her in. She said, I can heal her. They had brought holy water from the Ganges. They had brought medicine from all over Southern Asia. Men, they tell me that one man spent 2 years making a trek all the way over into China to bring back some medicine to heal the king's daughter. She said, I walked into that room, Brother Greenaway. She said there was medicine all over the place. She said there was every kind of a god, every kind of blood. She said it was sickening. The stench was horrible. And in the middle of a bed was that daughter dying, shriveled up. Her strength gone. And the king standing there said, can you do anything for her? Mister, I'm going to tell you something. If you really want to follow God, God Almighty will lead you down paths you never dreamed of. But if you learn, it's not by might nor by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. God Almighty will do something. Amen. You go in the name of the Lord. She said to the king, I can help her. Ann told me, I forgot what Ann said she had. Said, I knew what she had when I looked at her, and I knew I could help her. And Ann said, I will not do one thing in here till you get all of this stuff out of here. Oh, brother, the king called a cabinet meeting, and they came back and said, we can't. She said, she'll die. But said, I am not going to invite my master. Oh, your master, oh yeah. I'm going to invite him in, and he will heal her. But you got to get this stuff out of here.
Mister, they cried. She said they cried. Grown men cried, and those people don't cry. She said they cried as though they were committing the unpardonable sin against their God. She said, I made them clean it out, and then I made them wash the room with disinfectant. And old Ann could do it, boy. She was a... Ann got down and prayed for that girl. Stayed there 1 week. That girl was healed. I mean healed. And forever and ever, what was once a mountain to missionaries became a plain hallelujah. Why? Because it's not by might nor by power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Ann is the girl. You talk about light. You talk about the candlesticks. Jesus is the light of the world. Ann told me about the day that she got up one morning and said, God impressed her to go to Nepal that day. And her co-worker said, but Ann, it's not your day to go. She said, I don't care whether it's my day to go or not. She said, I'm going. She said, I got in my Jeep and we started up into Nepal. And she said, we got about 5 kilometers up in there and I saw a woman coming down the road screaming, the light has come, the light has come. Woo! Woo, the light has come. The light has come. And Ann said, I got out and took this woman that by this time was hysterical. And she was pointing. She said, the light has come, like he said. And Ann said, what light? She said, a few days ago, my husband died. And my doctor, witch doctor, told me that if I was to save my own person, I had to take my 2 daughters up to the top of the mountain where's the lake and throw them in. She said, I didn't know what else to do. I was being ostracized. Somehow I hadn't pleased the gods, and I'd have to throw my children in to that lake. She said, with heavy feet, I dragged my 2 little girls up to the top of that mountain the next morning. Standing there, I looked. She said, I was lost. I could feel nothing. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I had to throw my daughters in there and drown them. I'm going to tell you, that devil is a harsh taskmaster. I've worked with people whose minds and hearts were twisted and blighted and damned with centuries of witchcraft and idolatry, living in a darkness as dark as 1,000 midnight. But I have seen the light come, hallelujah. And when the light comes, darkness is swept away, hallelujah. Minds and souls are made clean. She said, just as I was to throw the first girl in, I saw a ball of fire in the sky, and out of it came a voice and said, stop. Go back. Don't do it. Go back. The light will come. The light will come. The light will come. She said, this morning, I stepped out of my house walking down this road and saw your car, and on top of it was the same ball of light. Hallelujah. And I know that the light has come. Tell me about it. The light has come. The light has come. The light has come. Amen and amen and amen. Who kalabashandaya, hallelujah. Who can declare his glory? Amen. Light. Light. God said, rebuild that temple and let the light shine. Amen. Let the light shine. And I've got a reservoir of oil, anointing oil. Amen. That the light will keep burning and burning and burning. You want your light to shine for Jesus. Get hooked up to the source of oil. Amen. And let God Almighty flow through you like a mighty river. You have lived with that. You know, it's a wonder. I lived so many years among twisted, blighted people. It's a wonder I can stand and preach it, a halfway decent sermon to anybody. I've talked so many years about the big chief in the sky. Try that on American audience. But I thank God. I thank God that my senses are not dulled this afternoon. I haven't flattened out. Amen. I still believe Jesus saved and Jesus healed and Jesus baptizes and Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen and amen. The only regret I have today is that I don't have two lives. One of these days I'm gone. I know that. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it because I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for a city. You may look for me, for I'll be there. You remember when we used to sing it? We quit singing that now because we're not sure whether going to be there, here, or somewhere else. Oh, I remember. You know, we think we got to do everything by might and power. I hear preachers today, they get such marvelous sermons. I feel terrible. But I've watched some of it. I've listened to it on TV. You know, it's might and power. And you can tell the difference when the Spirit enters in. Amen. Things begin to happen. Amen. The night I got saved, I ran all the way home, got Mom out of bed. She said, "You got saved." Amen. Hey. No monkey business. No, I didn't join the church. I got saved. As a matter of fact, I'd never been a member of a church. Except Family Worship Center, which I haven't joined yet, but I will. Mom looked at me and said, "You got saved." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "I could tell the way you were coming. You weren't sneaking by my door." And that woman stood there, laid her hands on my shoulder. God bless the Irish. She stood there, placed her hands on my shoulder. Dear God, a rough, wild Irish kid off of the streets, full of the devil, just got saved. Now she said, "Son, you will preach the gospel." I thought, dear God, I just got saved. Now she wants me to be a preacher. But she didn't stop there. She said, "Son," just like this, "you will not only preach the gospel, you will preach it to the ends of the earth." Woo, dear God. If she hadn't have been my mother, I'd have said she flipped. But how many times, just the other day, standing down in Singapore and up there in Port Dixon in the jungles of Malaysia preaching to Chinese, I thought of what my mother said many years ago: "You will preach it to the ends of the earth." Hallelujah. God does not lie. Amen. It is not by my... What did I have? Nothing. They had to burn the schoolhouse down to get me out of third grade. I went to school the next morning after I was saved, and big old Polack came down the hall. He said, "Greenaway," oh, they were nasty. I don't mean because they were Polacks. I mean, they were hunkies, dagos, wops. They called us a black Irish, and then we mix it up. Oh, some of you have lived sheltered lives. God, I grew up on the street. Every other house had a still. They made wine out of everything you could crush. We used to talk about the man coming out. They said they sold that rut, got whiskey in pint bottles, and you could put them in your sight,
coat pocket and put them in your hip. And I remember we used to tell awful stories about the man came out, fell down the steps with a pint in his hip, and he got up and he felt something running down his leg. He said, I hope that's blood. But friends, but he saved me. He saved me. Hallelujah. The light came into my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I began to sing, what a change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. That Pollock came down the hall. He said, Greenaway, I hear you joined the Holy Rollers last night. I had beat the fire out of a few of them because they called my mother a Holy Roller. And I just had a natural reflex when he said that, I hauled back and flattened him. Then I remembered I was saved. I said, hey man, I'm a child of God now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What else is new? But I went through school without any persecution. No, I didn't go around knocking people's heads off. Believe me. As a matter of fact, there still comes times. My wife doesn't understand why I talk to traffic. Get off, Mateo. Take it home and park it. Why don't you try to get some driver's license? She said, Charles, they can't hear you. I said, thank God. She said, when are you going to quit talking to traffic? I said, when idiots quit driving cars, that's when I'm going to quit driving. I went back to church the next night after I was saved. I was happy, and I sat down behind two dear sisters that had been in the way for 25 years. They had been in the way. Oh, they were holy. Their dresses in those years was up to here. Sleeves were down to here. Hemline down to here. They had their hair pulled back in a bun and wound up until they couldn't close their eyes. They were wound up. Everything was holy about those women but their tongues. Everything. And I sat down behind him, and the one was saying to the other one, the one had been away. They had a 3 weeks revival. Nobody got saved but me, and I didn't believe I got saved. But the one was saying to the other one, how did the revival go? And the other one said, it wasn't much. She said, didn't anybody get saved? She said, nary a one. I wanted to pop them one. You got to remember, I was saved, but I wasn't sanctified yet. And finally, the one woman said to the other one, she said, oh, I forgot. I love people that talk like this. She said, you remember the Greenaway boys. God, everybody knew the Greenaway. You go to Dublin, you'll find 3 pages of them in a phone book. Those that they haven't run off. They run my kin folks off. I found out that all of my, I got hep one time to trace my family tree, and I was... over there, when I lived in Europe, and I went over there, made a special trip to find out where I came from. God, I found out that every last one of my forebears were pirates. Hey, that's why it's never been hard for me to say, give it to me. No, I've been a beggar for Jesus all of these years. A beggar. Every Sunday I go out of here and beg in some church for faith promises. But I want you to know, mister, I'll beg until kingdom come that a lost and a dying world might know Jesus and him crucified. Amen? Amen and amen and amen. I am a beggar, but I'm not a bum. So the one lady said to the other, and she said, well, you know the Greenaway. Oh, you're kidding. She said, well, you know the one they call Charlie.
And that woman said, "You're kidding." I was right behind him. She said, "Well, he went to the altar last night." But said, "You know, we can't count on that." I made up my mind that night I'd follow Jesus, if for no other reason than to spite those two old ladies. And both of them had to listen to me preach before they died. Not by might nor by power. It's not even what we think, it's what he thinks. Amen? He is the light of the world. He died on Calvary's cross. Amen? He paid it all. You'll never outrun him. And you'll never outwit him. And you'll never outgive him. Amen? Because the more you give, the more he gives back. Amen? That goes for strength. That goes for everything. That's why some people retire. They quit giving. So they have to sit down. Because they don't have any strength anymore. Because they haven't given their strength. Then God called me to preach. The most unlikely. But see, I learned a secret. I had to learn. I learned that it was not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Amen? I went to Bible school, and as I told you, I was voted the boy the most unlikely to succeed. I've outlived most of them. Preached more than all of them put together. Amen? Have been more places and saw more people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? I remember one night preaching in a little storefront church. We were having church about 11 o'clock at night. We were making noise. Boy, you people have been a noisy bunch. God help you. I have never heard such noise in all my life. Hey, I got to stop here somewhere, but I just got started, really. You give me a few minutes. You know, you preach a man to death. I have the feeling you're hungry. Amen. You act like a bunch of people that haven't eaten for a long, long time. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then God called us, sent us to Africa. We lived all those years in Africa, on the desert, in the jungle, on the plains. Somebody said, "How did you like Africa?" What do you mean? Anywhere you are in the will of God, you like it. Amen. What do you think I'm doing in Baton Rouge? This is a swamp. You don't come here because you like it. You come here because God sent you. And like you go anywhere. Amen. I don't even bother to think about it. That'll melt your butter. But God sent us to Africa. We worked all those years. Dear God, I remember when we worked among the... Here we go. We worked among... When we opened up in the Atacora Hills, I was talking about yesterday, those people were all naked. Now what do? My God, you got to have some dress designers. Naked is the day they were born. The Tacumbas and the Uwabas and the Sombas, naked. They were barefooted all over. They wore sleeveless earrings. I remember we had a woman come through and they radios, "By this time I'm building a Bible school in Nutty Tingle." And we had a small plane, got a radio call from the coast and said, "Come down and get this woman. She's a very important person in the organization. And we want her to see the work up there." So we
flew her up, and she came up to the house, and she wanted to wash clothes. I got out the old Maytag washer and showed her how to work it with a gasoline motor. I was working 400 sombas building the Bible school, and I went back to work and sent up 3 sombas to carry water out of the river for her, and came up to the house at 10 o'clock for a cup of coffee, and she was furious, and she was weeping, and I said, "What in the world?" She said, "Do you know what you did?" I thought I was treating her pretty good. I hadn't invited her anyway. You know, I got my best. I said, "What did I do?" She said, "You sent me 3 naked men. I'm so embarrassed." I said, "Why? You've seen one, you've seen them all. Don't worry about it." I am amazed. I am amazed at what upsets us. You'd think we'd never been anywhere. Listen, you're just made out of the dust. None of us are worth 2 cents. Only as He lives in us and dwells in us and works through us. Hukalava Shandaya. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. She said, "You could at least put pants on the Christians." I said, "He didn't come here to be their tailor." I said, "You know why I sent you 3 naked men?" She said, "Why?" I said, "I got 400 of them down there." "No, that's all I got." I said, "I can put pants on them." I said, "I can get WM groups at home every Tuesday morning sewing pants for Greenaway's Christians." Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. There's a green pair. I hope there's an Irishman in it. They would sew pants till their eyes. But I said, the minute I start putting pants on anybody, I have reduced that great gospel to a pair of pants. I said, they want to wear pants, let it be their own idea. Let God speak to them. Oh, they dress now as well as we do. But I'm talking about a few years ago. I'm talking about 40 years ago. You hear me? Listen, mister, it's not always what you think. Amen, it is not by might and by power. I could have dressed them up like little Lord Fauntleroy's. I could have dressed him up. Don't think I couldn't have. In those years, I could have done anything I wanted to do. I could write anything, control anything I could get a hold of. I told you I wore out 2 Harleys and 3 Jeeps, buddy. It's a wonder I got kidneys. Or anything else. But I'm going to make it. Amen. Amen. Amen, because it is not by might nor by power. It's by spirit. We had a preacher. We had an executive come through. We flew him up. He got off the plane. He got off the plane. He had a book. He had a plane, and he got off the plane like this. He said, "Greenaway." I said, "What?" He said, "These people, they're naked." I said, "Tell me something I don't know, man. I live at 35 Naked Avenue. I raised my family there. What would you do about it?" "You would try by might and by power." "No, but I live to see the day when the Spirit of God fell among the Sombas and the Takambas and the Uwabas, and they got saved and cleaned up and put on clothes and shouted the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it is not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Go on a few minutes and I'm going to let you go as soon as I'm through. You just go on out. Go home. You're tired. You're tired. He went around 10 days like this. One day he said to me, "If you see one that's dressed, I want a picture." He had all these cameras, you know. One day I was going down towards the marketplace, and there I saw this big somba coming. He had been to market. In those years, the French were still there, and they threw their old clothes along the market to be sold. And this boy had been there. They were swapping with cowrie shells in those days. And I saw him coming. He had been to market, and he had got him a necktie. That's all he had, the necktie. Oh, that's all he kept on. I said, "Get your cameraman. Here's one that's dressed." He said, "Where?" I said, he's not dressed.
I said he is too, man. He got a tie on. Take it.
He took it. I was telling this story in one of our colleges, and the president of the college came to me and said, Greenaway, that was my father. I said, how do you know? He said, I have the slides. I said, who do you show them to? He said, who can you show them to? But oh, mine eyes have seen his glory. Hallelujah. We went to church on Sunday morning, 500 naked zombies sitting out there. He was going to preach and I was going to interpret. And I said, what's your text? And he pulled out an old Arkansas camp meeting sermon. And I knew we were in trouble. What in the world did I heard him preach a sermon. What in the world does 500 naked zombies care whether the church is going through the tribulation or not? They haven't even heard about the tribulation. I'm telling them about the big chief in the sky. That's as far as it got. And he's going to lay a heavy one on them. How much the gates of pearl weigh and how much the... God have mercy. I didn't know what to do for a second. But then it dawned on me I was the interpreter. I was the interpreter. Hey, when I got that revelation, buddy, I was in business. I said, let's go. He read his text, I read mine. Every time he said something, I said something. I don't know what he ever did tell them, but I was telling them about the big chief in the sky. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Hallelujah. There's not enough great sermons in the world to save the world, but there's enough spirit. Woo, that can sweep like a storm. Hallelujah. Like the harmattan off of the desert. Oh, hallelujah. And that morning we had a mighty move. In spite of all of that, God moved. And on the way back to the mission house, he said, Greenaway, I have preached that sermon all over the world. But he said, I had more success with it this morning than I've ever had. And the only dumb thing I could think to say to him was, when you're hot, you're hot. Listen to me. Listen to me. We're not a bunch of junk. We're not a bunch of junk. We are the children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Amen. And back of us is all the authority of heaven. Hallelujah. And God will send his Holy Spirit wherever we pray that he might be. Amen. Let me read you this. I can find it. If I can't find it, I'll read something else. What am I looking for? Yeah, here I got it. Getting close. Will you stay with me just for one illustration? Just one. And then I promise you, if Wayne can get up there and find that mic and sing, you can go. For whom he did predestinate, he to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, whom he called, he justified, whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Woo! Amen. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Amen. Risen again. Not dead. He's alive. Amen. Who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession, translating, interpreting for me when I don't know how to pray. Amen.
I say ridiculous things when I pray. I say dumb things. I groan, I weep, I cry. But he's at the right hand. He said, God, Father, that is Greenaway. He is flat out dumb. Listen to him pray. You hear that, stupid? But Father, this is what he means. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. This is what he means. All right. I'm going to ask you the question. You answer me. What then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? Or sword? No. Why? Because in all these things we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Say it with me. In all these things we are more than conquerors. Woo! That's what we are. More than conquerors. Many years ago, I was listening to Brother Schombach preach. Whew. What a preacher. God, he made me look like I'm standing still. What a preacher. He's never flattened out. Hey, he's still with it. Amen. Woo, he's still with it. Oh, hallelujah. And Jimmy Swaggart, he hasn't even got the whole thing rolling yet. He hasn't flattened out. He's reaching for higher and greater and better things in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Because he's a man. He's a man of the promise. But anyway, Brother Schombach told a story about the boxer. Well, you know, just before I was saved, they were going to treat me to box. They were going to teach me how to fight. I knew how to do that. They're going to teach me how to box. So I remember the day they took me to the gym. Old-fashioned it was, but buddy, it was still a gym. And I remember how they made me jump rope endlessly, hour after jump rope. I used to think, la-di-da, jump rope, you know, ha-da-da. But buddy, I learned you had to jump once and throw the rope four times, you know, and you would, until your eyes were crossed. And then they put you on the treadmill with two idiots behind you, and you run. Say, push it, move it. You want to kill somebody, move it, and you're going to die. Your lungs can't hold it. You can't do that. But then after you think you can't do it, they keep pushing you on. You keep pushing you on. And then they put you with a punching bag for a couple of months, and that's a sack of cement, and you go ta-ta-ta-ta all day long until you feel like your wrists are up here. And your elbows are up here, and your shoulders are way off. You go home at night thinking that your shoulders. Oh, and you pray. Then they put you in a ring with a sparring partner with a helmet on. He is a murderer, and every 15 seconds he knocks your head off systematically. And you know, when you get hit on the head, your brain vibrates. And you know, that's why you know boxers get bumped on the head. There are no people that is as disciplined as a boxer. When he reaches a prize ring, he is one of the most disciplined men in the world. He has to be. But they get hit on the head so much, and that little old brain going like this, sometimes it sticks. That's why you see a punch drunk boxer. He's lost something somewhere. I have to watch it. I have to keep it under the blood because I still like a little. Not me, but I like to watch it. Oh, brother. But just before they were going to sign me up for a fight, I got saved. Oh, thank God. Thank God I got saved. Because I'd have killed somebody or somebody had killed me. Because you have to have a certain spirit that goes with that, you know. You got to have a killer instinct. And oh, I watched it when they put them in the ring.
I watched Jack Dempsey fight.
What a fight.
Max Smilling. Verpo. Any of you remember any of those names? Some of you do. Hang in there. We're going to make it. We're not going to look like anything. We belong to a better society now. Oh, hallelujah. They put them in the ring, and you watch them, and they box, and they bleed, and they're hurt, and they fight. They fight.